You're listening to Radically Pragmatic, a podcast from the Progressive Policy Institute. We talk with lawmakers, policy experts, and thought leaders about the issues driving the news nationally and internationally. The Progressive Policy Institute is a catalyst for policy innovation and political reform with offices in Washington, D.C. and Brussels. Its mission is to create radically pragmatic ideas for moving America beyond ideological and partisan deadlock. We encourage analytical conversations, not your typical partisan talking points.
Welcome back to another episode of the Raj Reports podcast. I am Curtis Valentine, director of the Reinventing America Schools project, and I am here on location in New Orleans at Essence Fest for our latest series we're calling The Future is Woman, a series where we're highlighting and centering amazing Black women in education. And I am sitting across from probably one of the most amazing, maybe me, my favorite. And so this is a treat for me. A lot of folks already know who she is, and this opportunity is, you know, to share some things that we may not know about her, and for those who are maybe new to her work. And so this is an introduction, a reintroduction, but this is my sister, so it's going to be super conversational. And I'm going to try not to sort of like project things that I already know about her, because I want you all to know her the way I do. And it is a pleasure. I am here with the Naomi Shelton. Clap, insert clap here. The president of the Charter Collaborative. And so she is here on location with me here in New Orleans. So I'll just start off. How you doing, and how has Essence been for you so far?
Well, good morning and hello, Curtis. Essence so far has been one of the most refreshing experiences I've had this year. Just one, being in community with other really dedicated, really focused, but also really dynamic Black women. I spent the first 2 days that I've been here, so Thursday and part of yesterday, with women from the Highland Project, which is an organization focused on supporting Black women so they can think of what it is that we need in the future. So Gabrielle Wyatt brought some women together along with the Walton Family Foundation, had an amazing time. So I feel amazing. I woke up today earlier than I expected and was like, oh, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
Today is the day.
Here we go. And again, the energy is high super early here in New Orleans. So if you've never been to Essence, I tell people, drink your water, wear comfortable shoes, and just be available for the energy, because it's heavy and it's humid, just so you know.
I went to college in Mississippi, and we used to drive to New Orleans fairly regularly.
Oh.
Right? So I feel like New Orleans has grown with me, and I've grown with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I've been like, now, wait a minute now. I'm going to stay in the hotel. I don't think I'm leaving today.
Yeah.
I have to leave.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to. what is it? It's almost 90 degrees.
Yeah. It was like 85 at like 11 o'clock last night. So, yeah, a little tangent there. But tell us about the Charter Collaborative, what you all do, and most importantly, what about the work that you all do most excites you?
Mm-hmm. So the National Charter Collaborative is a organization that was founded to support Black, Brown, and Indigenous charter school leaders who run single-site charter schools. We all know the big box, I refer to them as big box versus no excuses, but the big box network charter schools. Those schools have not only back offices, but have a network usually across the country, if not across the state, and have a very different dynamic than the folks that are running, you know, one building, two buildings, at the most five buildings that are all within one school. What we focus on is really how do we strengthen their work? How do we think about the right partnerships for their work? But then how do we amplify their work? How do we make sure that we're doing the right research and the right communications to amplify what it is and their value proposition?
And so, again, we're here at Essence Fest, and we really want to, again, center the voices and experience and contributions of Black women. So how does the work of the Charter Collaborative really center the experience, voices of Black women?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that fundamentally Black women are the cornerstone of our experiences, specifically in the education space. between teachers, administrators, and in my case, school leaders and founders, are truly focused on how do we make sure that we're doing right by children, not only on the academic side, but on the social emotional learning side. They are wrapping around their students in different ways. And I think that honoring what it is that they've been doing sometimes unofficially as being the matriarchs, the examples, the aunties, the school leaders that we work with are focused in that way, and they hire people who are focused on that as well. So, you know, Essence is one of those opportunities, one, for those women to have a little bit of a break, right? My friends and I refer to this as Auntie Fest. And giving people the opportunity to, like, put their hair down a little bit. The work that happens day in and day out in schools, we often think of systems, but when you have people that are running very small nonprofit slash schools, that looks very differently. The relationship to the students, but also the staff, looks very different. And so there are several schools here in New Orleans, Sophie B. Wright, and some other schools that are led by women. We want to make sure that we're amplifying them, thinking about them, but also giving them the opportunity to rest and restore themselves.
Shout out to all the Black women school founders who are here at Essence. Rest, relax, enjoy. If you feel like you want to stay inside because it's too humid, do that. Do what you feel, because you deserve it. And these summers, summer months are opportunities to reconnect. I mean, oftentimes people use them to just plan for the next year. And I know you have to do that, but you do also have to recharge. Yep. Because, you know, education, people will take. Oh. And they will keep taking.
And not to get too serious on the front end, but I met a school leader several years ago because one of my high school friends, her son attends her school. And so with Tasha James in Prince George's County.
Yeah.
I ran into her at a social event. You know, I'd been to the school to visit, had seen and spent some time with her. Always very jovial, having a good time. And I asked her at this event, like, how are you doing? And I remember looking her in the eye, and she looked at me, her eyes welled up a little bit, and she said, nobody's ever asked me that. Right?
Yeah.
It was, you know, mid-pandemic, like when people started going outside. And I said, what do you mean nobody's asked you? She said, when you lead a school, you ask everybody else. And I remember looking at her in the eye and, like, touching her hand and being like, you know you can always call me.
Yeah.
But just the idea of, like, when you're the person who's in charge, it's just like moms. Nobody checks to make sure mom is okay.
Yeah.
Because mom is doing that for everybody else. That was that reminder of, I have to make sure that anytime that I'm talking to a school leader, I ask them, how are you doing?
I receive that. It's like, you know, this strong Black woman, you got it, you know, you'll be okay, you don't hurt. Yeah, getting deep early. And so again, we're here at Essence Fest, and we've already kind of talked about it. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, expound on this. Like, so why are gatherings like Essence Fest so important to you and the work that you do at the Charter Collaborative?
Well, I think more importantly, it's a focus on rejuvenation, joy, and I'm gonna hone in on joy. Specifically over the last 4 years, joy is something that is fleeting. We recognize that either by way of just all the things that we've had to endure because of the pandemic, watching children not have the same level of joy for the milestones that we've all already experienced. And so to have the opportunity to, like, be in a place and space where, yes, I can, like, let my hair down, I can sing at the top of my lungs, I can laugh unabashedly with my friends, but I can also learn. I can be in a space where I'm hearing about something from the first time. I'm hearing, you know, a speaker that I've really wanted to hear from. I'm, you know, going to a comedy show. I'm on Frenchman, just listening to music. But just having that opportunity to have the dynamic nature of what joy can be in one place. You don't have to, like, go, if you're at home, you have to go somewhere. You're already here. It's already, you know, at your fingertips, and you can just walk out and do that. The idea of celebrating Black women, but celebrating the what it means to be joyous in that is something that we don't get to do very often. It is often something that people take for granted because they have the opportunity to do that in a different way. And so Essence just allows you to do that, but then see other women doing it. And in seeing other women doing it, it expands what that looks and feels like.
Yeah, that connection and community. Again, you and I both attended HBCUs. And when I do come to gatherings like this, it is definitely harkening me back to those, even the first few weeks of school, you're like, oh, this is like this exists, this happens, this space, like I can take off all of the things that I have to put on in order to survive in certain environments. Yeah. And so when I came last year for the first time, I was like, oh wow, this existed the whole time. I was not here. And so it is incredibly important for our community. So if you're like me, I have a subscription to Essence Magazine and I read editions all the time, but I don't hear a lot of stories about women, particularly women in K-12 education leadership. No shade, but it just is what it is. And so I want to ask you sort of how do you think, you know, editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine calls you in, how should Essence Magazine, Essence Fest, tell stories of the Black women that you are serving, that you're centering? Like, how can they do a better job of telling those stories?
Yeah. Well, you know, you brought it up, so I gotta go there. I'm a fourth generation graduate of Tougaloo College.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tougaloo.
Shout out to Tougaloo College. I wouldn't be half of who I am without it. And in the last 4 months, so February through May, UNCF and the National Charter Collaborative coordinated to host a series of conversations around HBCUs and K-12 and the relationship therein. One of the things that I think is most important is that you have the opportunity to highlight how HBCUs influenced the leaders that are now doing the work in the space that we're in. And one of the sessions that we held was about Black women and how that was influential in how they go about doing their work. For dynamic women who have founded schools and or are working at a school, but how that incubation period, that time that you, like you said, you're on campus those first couple of weeks and you're like, oh, I don't have to show up.
Love this. I'm feeling this.
I call it the incubation, right? It's that, like, you have the time to, like, incubate, be who you are, figure out who you are. And I think for women, specifically those who have decided they want to go into education, having the opportunity to do that without the gaze of, you know, white supremacy culture, people that don't think like them and wanting them to behave and interact with students a particular way. But when they're in a space where that school is run by a woman of color, that changes what the culture of that school looks like. And as we think about Black women, our influence in culture, and you know that being the essence of what Essence Magazine is focused on, how do we start to amplify one of the things that is a cornerstone to our community? Education is at the center of all the things that have made us excellent. And I think Black excellence and how we talk about it is also the full spectrum of Blackness, right? So having the opportunity for either students, specifically girls, to be highlighted, that in between, so students who are in higher ed and what it is that is putting them on the trajectory to think about education, but also the women who have been doing this work, are, you know, mid-career, but doing this work for some time, and how the matriarchs of their lives have played a role in their decision to go into education. I think, you know, we hear all the wild things that are going on in the ed space based on, like, the culture wars. Right now, we know that if those moms are focused on what they want to see in education, then we have to do the same.
Yeah.
And this is really and truly an opportunity for us to go beyond, you know, just moms for whatever, but, like, Black women for the greatness that we can all be.
And the thing about it, like, y'all been doing it, like, for so long, like, since we touched 10 toes down here. And it's almost like it's this idea of it's there, But because it's always been there, we kind of like look past. It's like the thing in the room that's been there for so long that we sort of take it for granted. It's there, and we look almost everywhere. But then we end up back where we started, right? Oh, we'll get back there. I don't know what the other like. You know, people just we'll get to the point where we'll try everything else, and then we'll get back to, oh well, okay. So well, and this is why I think Essence. And the way this festival is done, the way the magazine has it produced, it's just so the quality of the experience and the curation and the leadership and just showing the excellence of Black women in the product itself. Like when you open the Essence magazine, you're just like, okay, wow, okay,
consistent.
Yeah. But that's why I'm always like, okay, if we could take the work that we're doing and really and have this such quality, respected, trusted, you know, staple of our community, what it is. And so, again, we're here at Essence Fest, and again, I often ask this question at different conferences, and we've done a similar series at South by Southwest. We did a similar series at ASUG, and I asked the same question of my guest at both places, and I'll ask it here is, what's missing? Like, are there any blind spots? Like, again, they bring you back and say, hey, we want you on the planning session for 2024 about how we make Essence Fest here in New Orleans more representative of your experience and the work that you do. What do you tell Essence?
Well, I would immediately replicate the conversation we had with those HBCU graduates who are now leading schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like having that example for folks to see not only shifts what people believe is possible, but it like broadens that perspective. We think of, again, systems and districts and all those things, but how can we amplify the leaders that are doing this work in really dynamic ways, but doing it by themselves? And then, of course, the voice of students. I think we often relegate kids to a particular place. You know, the old saying, children are seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
How do we hear them?
Yeah.
Right? And I know so many school leaders that are intentional about making sure that their students are heard and seen. So how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Right? How do we have a conversation with students, with school leaders, with educators? Because at the end of the day, none of this is possible without us having all those things move and happen. And we should be able to see how that all happens and hear how it happens and hear how thoughtful people are about their work, but also hear the impact of that work on the people that are the direct, recipients of that.
Essence, hope you heard that. You know, we're going to push this podcast out and someone from Essence is going to hear this and you're going to get a phone call. Just make sure you shoot me, let me know. So I'm not going to hold you much longer, but I didn't want you to leave without sharing. So what's the next move? What should people be looking forward to Charter Collab over the next weeks and months? And what should they pay attention to?
Yeah, so our immediate next move, is a report about special education and thinking about how school leaders, specifically Black women,
mm-hmm.
go about that work differently. We hear all of the negatives that happen in traditional spaces around SPED. But we're going to release a short report, but that really hones in on what are the implications of what we learned while conducting that research. So NCC, along with MindWorks and NYU, New York University, we were going about this to just really examine what happens when Black leaders are responsible for that work. So we're going to share that. But most importantly, we're going to be doing advocacy, not for school leaders, but with school leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we talk about the work of charter schools differently? And most importantly is we have to do that work differently. We have to evolve. The world cannot stay static in the ways that we want it to, so how do we change that narrative? And then thinking about how do we work with HBCUs?
Mm-hmm.
The reason we held that the series, which was Ever Rising, the renaissance of HBCUs in K-12, was to highlight what's possible there. Is it, authorizing and having charter schools be authorized by HBCUs because of the cultural competence that they have in terms of what those students need? Is it those schools hosting you know, K-12 schools on their campuses. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
A schools are, you know, that was commonplace on the campuses of HBCUs. So can we do that again?
Yeah.
And then what does it look like for alums of HBCUs to serve on authorizing bodies? This work is not impossible without the level of accountability that comes with that. So really thinking about, as a former authorizer from DC Public Charter School Board, how do we have more people who reflect the community thinking about what the community needs in terms of the types of schools? So that continuum and thinking through, how do we amplify the work of the leaders? How do we continue to like shape and support their work, but also what's possible? So that's what's next.
No, so you're busy. So in a word, you're busy. I do want to shout out the research. And that's something I think is so important. This is, if someone asked me the question about Essence as well, I think the idea that there are sisters who are out here, some are in think tanks, some are in academia, some are just in the community doing the research. And so there's so much data that's out there. There's so many ways to tell these stories that I think people often like be surprised. They just knew the background. So I definitely want to shout that out. Before I let you go, I want you to just shout out some Black women who you think deserve more attention, who are not in front of microphones all the time, or not on stages, that you think deserve some attention. So shout those sisters out if you can for us.
Of course, the immediate folks that come to mind are in the DMV. So I spoke about one earlier, Tasha James, who runs Legends Charter School. Dr. Catherine Procope, who runs the Middle School for Math and Science at Howard University.
Okay, yeah.
So Dr. Procope, she is so dope. Let's see, Kim Branham Neal, right, out of Indianapolis, has been in the charter space for some time. She started a charter school in Indianapolis and is expanding. Legra Newman out of Nashville.
Shout out to Legra, that's my sister right there. Oh, she's so killing. She's killing it. She's killing it.
But there's so many, and I feel badly because I'm like,
no.
If I could just like do a voiceover with like, let's say all their names.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know, most importantly, I think everybody should think back to who was the teacher that was most important to them. You know, either she was a robust figure or she was that silent support.
Yeah.
But think about the Black women that have been supportive of you in your academic journey. And then the women who didn't necessarily do this in a formal way, your great-grandmother, whose words and wisdom have stuck through the decades of your, your life.
Yeah.
The auntie who didn't have kids, but loves on everybody else's. But you know, we all have those folks in our lives, and we could say all their names. But you know, on a regular basis, think of them and support how they've done that and show up in the same way.
Shout out to the Village. The village is there. The village kept me. I don't know about you, but the Village kept me. And so I appreciate that. Again, I'm so glad to be here with my sister, learning so much about what she's done, what she's doing, and her future role as a senior advisor to Essence Magazine for their Essence Fest. We claim that. And so again, you've listened to the latest episode of the Rise Reports podcast. This is our The Future is Woman series, done in collaboration with Ed Choice. We are here on location in New Orleans at Essence Fest. Again, opportunity to really center Black women in leadership who are changing the game in education for the future of education. And we have one of the most dynamic in the country, Naomi Shelton. And so glad that you could join me, sister. Good luck out there in this heat. Because it is.
Fan with me. My friends know this.
Oh, yeah, the carry.
Handheld fan.
It is
electronic. It's it's rechargeable, and it is charging in the room right now.
Say that.
So when I have to leave.
Preparation. There you go. Again, on your to-do list, next, if you come back here next year, bring your water, bring your fan, and bring your walking shoes. Thank you all so much, and look forward to the next episode of the Rise Reports podcast. I'm Curtis Valentine. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Want to learn more about the Progressive Policy Institute? Follow us on Twitter at PPI and on Facebook at Progressive Policy Institute, or go to our website at progressivepolicy.org. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and check back for new episodes. We'll talk with you soon.